We know that as far as estimate goes, about 106 billion people have been born on this earth, approximately. We also know that there's about 7 billion people who are alive today. So that's about 94.5% that are not alive. Have you ever thought about where they've gone? Where are they? Where are they? About 7 out of 10 people in our country believe there's a heaven of some kind. About 5 out of 10 believe there's a hell. Those who go to churches like ours, like a Baptist church, what we call evangelicals, about 8 out of 10 believe in both. Or do we? We believe it mentally, sure. But do we really believe that? Where did those 94.5% of the people that have been born, who lived on earth for a short time or for a lengthy time, where have they gone? So 8 out of 10 of us, we believe they've gone somewhere in the afterlife, in heaven or hell. Most of the world doesn't believe that too much, and many of you here are Chinese. If you're Chinese or particularly East Asian of kind, only about 3 out of 10 of them believe in the afterlife at all. Think about that. You know, as I'm preparing this message in the series, if God's people would actually believe in heaven and hell, I believe we would do different things. We would live different lives. Our world can be different because of the impact we will put into it. But do we really believe it? I know 8 out of 10, there's 20% that don't know what they're thinking about, you know. But the evangelical Christians say, yeah, 8 out of 10, well, I believe it, we do, right? But why aren't we impacting the world in such a way? Well, I investigated a little bit more, and I discovered that, at least in our country, according to the Pew Research, only about 13% of the people, 1 out of 10 about, including Christians, including evangelicals, actually even think about death. And perhaps they have a good reason to. Maybe they're going through some of the struggles of life, you know, some of the you know, life and death situation, the cancer situation, as I shared in my family news. Only 1 out of 10 are thinking about death. Another 30% think about it once in a while. A full 50 plus to 60% of the people in our country never even think about death. And maybe that's why we have no concern, no desire to even care about heaven and hell, because we don't even think about death. We don't think we will die. We're going to live here forever. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, once upon a time, death was all over the place, and you can't help it. Nowadays, we have gotten medicine, modern medicine, and we have made death very, very sterile. If I were to ask you right now, if you're particularly under the age of 30 or something, how many of you have even seen a dead body? Probably you haven't. You've gone to a few funerals, and our funerals are very sterile. We make it very sterile. And you never see it on the street. Once upon a time, that's what happens, you know. I remember I saw something I wish I never saw. That would be about a little over 2 years ago. Just following what was happening in the country of Ukraine as they began the civil war, I saw a video, and I want to tell you, I don't want to see those kind of things at all. It just doesn't leave my mind. It can't leave my mind. It was an air-to-surface missile. And they had a videotape of it, and it struck this building where people were just mingling around. Right afterward, a person went and he took pictures. There were bodies strewn all over the place. There were people with missing limbs crying out for help. And I saw that, and within about 5 seconds, I clicked it off. I knew those images were never going to leave my mind, and they have not. Women, men, children, without parts of their body just reaching out for help, and it just, I'm sure they died. There's no doubt. There was no help there. But it, you know, you see those kind of images and you say, you know, life and death is real. It's right there. But we have made it very, very sterile. You don't see those kinds of things. As a pastor, I see a bunch of these because oftentimes I'm called upon to go to someone's house and I'm the first person after the first responder to see the bodies there. And they're not anything like what you see in a funeral. But you see, we have sterilized. And as a result, we don't think about life and death. If we're not thinking about life and death, why in the world would we think about heaven and hell? How does that even relate? We can go and talk about how, you know what, you know, I believe in karma, I believe in, you know, reincarnation. You can talk about all those things. You haven't seen the body there. You're thinking, oh, no, this person is going to come back. It's going to be born again as a baby. You can make this stuff up and talk about it all the time, but it doesn't affect you. And when it does, it's such a distance. You know, the EMT people come quickly. They take the body, take away whatever it is, and everything becomes very sterile. So in our society, death is almost a non-entity. Until it hits you, until it hits you very close. What if God's people believed that we actually would die? And what if we believed that there's actually a heaven and hell afterwards, there's actually afterlife? What if we did? We'll come back to that a little bit more. But I pulled out this passage because I believe this passage is not just describing heaven and hell, but it tells you why that matters so much to us, you know? And so I want to share with you three thoughts here from this passage. Here we see, first of all, God gives a unique passion. Have you ever seen your puppy or your cat go to church? A few people have brought them to here, and we tried to tell them, please don't bring your animal to church, all right? They don't really care about worshiping. Have you ever talked, you know, hey, little Chloe, are you interested in a retirement? And, you know, do you want a will for your little other puppies that you will never have, but, you know, right? You don't. Of course not. You can go to any of the animal world, whatever it is. They don't care about life after death. I mean, they don't want to die. There is instinct there, right? But there's no eternity in their hearts. And they don't have a sense of worshiping necessarily the Creator God, other than being who they are and magnifying God by just how beautiful they have been made. But in man, there is something unique in us. And the scripture says it. He has put eternity in our hearts. It's always there. You know, the world might try to say, no, that doesn't happen. There could be 20% of the people in our nation that would claim to be atheists, whatever it is. It doesn't matter because still in the depths of their heart, there is eternity there and they can't take it away. Pascal, the philosopher who said, you know, God has made a God-shaped void inside of us. We are interested in the eternal. And it doesn't matter what culture you go to. When someone dies, you don't just toss it into the garbage can. That's inhumane, we call it. That's grotesque. You give a proper burial. You do whatever that culture designed it to respect the eternal. It's in here. It's in, God has given it to us. And why did he give that to us? Because there is life after death. That's why. There is something else beyond this here, beyond working all my life, beyond just making sure I'm stay alive, beyond just getting a place to live and housing and whatever. There's a lot more than that. And that's why so many people, as they grow, especially young people, you are here, there is something deeper in there than I'm just going to graduate from A&M or UT or whatever school you want to. I want to get a great job, make a lot. There's something more than that, far deeper. And that's why a lot of young people just like, I'm not going to do that. They don't even have to be believers necessarily. They want to do something else. You know, they want to go across the world to do something with the Peace Corps, this and that, to help some people, to make a difference, to fulfill that which is inside of them that is far more than making a living. We need more than that because God has placed in us a passion for that. And if you don't know that, and you're living like, you're wondering why your life is empty, you're wondering why nothing seems to make sense, I'm not happy here. It isn't about all the things, changing your environment, moving to another city, going to another church, finding another person that is a friend of mine. That's not going to make any difference. Because in the depths of your heart is something that God has given and only God can fulfill. It is eternity. It is so unique. It is a passion. And passion will trump anything. It will take over anything. If you have a passion for something, it's going to go better and overwhelm any statistics, any marginal, any physical, empirical, anything. That passion will cause you to do things that you can't imagine. That's what God has given to us. And it's so sad, people that live without that passion. What kind of lives are you living? As we go on, the writer tells us too that there is an inseparable connection. That passion is linked right to God. And every day, everything we do, even if it's our labor, you know, whatever it is from God. It is God that gives it to us. Shame on us to think that if you thought that you gave that to yourself, it is because of your accomplishment, it is because of your family, it is because of your privilege or your heritage. It is not. It is from God. There's a connection there. He's given that to us, and he keeps it going every single day. You wake up in the morning, and you're just like, oh, I just said, what a miserable day. Boy, have you missed out on what God has given you. Every day we wake up, every day we go about our business, every day we do our things, we need to know that God has given those things to us, and he has connected us to himself. Even if you're not a believer, even if those people out there, they're completely dependent on the living God for their breath, for their life, for everything about it. Even as they curse him, even as they deny him, even as they fight against him. They have that connection with God. Because otherwise, they would be just a rock, just a tree, whatever it is. And even they are connected to God because God has created. So I don't know if you have that inside your heart. You feel it, you know, like, yeah, something's wrong. You know, have you ever done? Everything seems to be perfect. My marriage is perfect. You know, my children are perfect. This really doesn't usually happen. But if you have all that, my job is great. I get a great income. I live in a great neighborhood. You know, everything's going good. But something deep inside of me is not working. I'm just not happy. I don't know how many people I've talked to about that. The answer I give them every single time, it is your connection to God that's not going well. It is the depths of passion that God has given to you that you have not connected with, that you have not allowed to overwhelm you. Remember a good friend of mine, so successful, a typical Asian person, you know, rose up high in IBM, executive, just worked there, had everything he could win, won. He had children, wife, you know, everything. Everything seems to be working fine. A great retirement plan. Good friend of mine. I still remember talking to him. And you just sense the sadness in his life. That somehow he lost out on something. You know, something just wasn't there. He said, Danny, if I had to redo it again, I'd just redo my whole life. I wouldn't have made those choices. And he was a believer. But he knew he lost out. And I said to him, you know what? It's not too late. It's never too late. You can't go back and recapture all those things, but you can make a choice now. You know, get that connection back with God, where God touches your life every single day and changes your life every single day, because it is for eternity. The third thing we find here, I love it. I love it. It's a gift. You know, in case you think you earned it all, in case you think you deserve any of it, you don't. God has given to you and I gifts. You know, sometimes you say we live in America, we're Americans, you are the greatest country in the world. We have great gifts. And these are just additional gifts. But everything that God has given to us, the fact that we can stand, the fact that we can work, the fact that we can breathe and live and love and relate to people, these are gifts. You don't deserve it. Why should you get it? You haven't done anything to earn it. God gave it to you. And the writer says, you got to remember that. It is a divine gift. And in that gift, there is a responsibility. And as you continue to read, and I'll read the passage for you later on in Ecclesiastes throughout the Bible, you can find that there is a responsibility of people to respond to the giver who gave us these gifts. And to do that, we need to understand that there is an afterlife. There's a time when we will be called upon to. I was reading and watching, actually, a video of a really good speaker. He's been here before. His name is Francis Chan. Many of you follow him. You probably know this illustration. I thought, you know, sometimes there's nothing new under the sun. Illustrations are, you know, you can always get them from an old time. But he gave one that was pretty good. He had a really long rope, really long rope. You guys remember that? Some of you might have read. And he took a little rope, and I think something at the end of it, he kind of made a little section. And he says, you know, here's your life right here. And you know, most of us, we just live here, right here. We forget about the long rope, which is actually doesn't end. And we focus everything on here as if that's your whole life. That's all that matters. You make choices for that little part of your life, which is right here. You forget about the whole thing. This is the gift that God has given to you to determine the rest of it, and yet we live it as if this is the only part that exists and there is nothing else. What a bad choice that would be. We live that way. But people do all the time. People do all the time. 87% of the people in this country are not even thinking about dying. That they will die, if ever. They know that. They know that because they know everybody died. You know, they know that that is part of it, but it's not about me. It's not me. I'm not going to die. And so as a result, we don't think about it. And so as evangelical Christians, we do the same thing. We're not thinking about death, and therefore we're not thinking about heaven and hell. I know. You know, when we share the gospel with people today, we don't share the gospel like this. Oh, you're going to die. Where are you going to go? Once upon a time, that was very effective, you know. There's this big ministry that used to knock on doors. And when they open the door, particularly in Florida, they'll say, you know what? If you die today, where will you be, right? And people are slamming doors on them. How dare you? That kind of thing, right? But let me tell you, that is part of the equation. Today, we rather tell people, and I do all the time, there's nothing wrong with it necessarily. I tell people, God has a wonderful plan for your life, you know. He's going to transform your life. You have a disaster of a life, he's going to change it. You got a disaster in marriage, God will heal it. You got a terrible situation in relationship, God will mend those. We tell these things, and it's true. But don't leave out the part of heaven and hell, okay? You can't leave that out. Because that is a huge part of what life is about. And in case you don't know what heaven and hell is, those 106 billion people, minus 7 billion, this is where they are right now. They're either in heaven or they're in hell. If you don't know what it is, you can go into the Bible and find out a little bit more. There's all kinds of places where you can get a glimpse of what it is. Heaven is so amazing, indescribable. You can only think about it. You go to the book of Revelation, which we already went through. You can think about it in what Jesus told us, that these are mansions where he's preparing a place for us. You can think about the pearly streets and the gold. All these things are just descriptions of what we understand here to see what amazing things it is. And you know what? If you spend 1,000 years in heaven, you haven't lost a single day. And you have a new body, amazing body that can do awesome things. And you'll be in the presence of the living God, worshiping the Creator who made you, who put that eternity in your heart, which is now experienced by you. Heaven is so all those things. At the same time, you need to know what hell is. I want to read a quote to you by William Booth. If you don't know who he is, he's the founder of the Salvation Army. 2 centuries ago, in the 1860s, 70s, somewhere around there. And he wrote this. The chief danger that confronts the coming century, which is the past century, will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. Is he a prophet or what? Has he not nailed it right there in 18, I don't know when this quote was, probably 1880, 90, something like that. He stated it, and do we not have all those things? And I want to focus on the last one, heaven without hell. Even for people in America who believe in some semblance of heaven, 7 out of 10 believe that, but only 5 out of 10 believe in hell. So there's a heaven without hell. And all our religious organization, including churches, are trying to tell them that. I was speaking to one man as I walked to church, faithful Catholic. I mean, so faithful, more faithful than I'm telling you a lot of Christians I've met. Every single day he went to Mass. Every single day he went to Mass all his life. He was probably about 60 years old at the time. And he asked me, Pastor Dan, I knew him. I said, George, how are you doing? He says, I want to ask you a question. Is there hell? Is there hell? This is the guy that went to Catholic all his life. He was born a Catholic. He was a Catholic all his life. Went to the parish there. That particular church, St. Agnes, all his life. Multiple priests have preached there and taught there. And he had gone through all the teachings of the Catholic Church. And he asked me, is there a hell? And I said, absolutely. He says, you know, my priests don't believe it. They said, there's no hell. And if you ever went to a Catholic funeral, you would know that, because there's all kinds of places where you can put these little cards and light these candles that they paid ahead of time, because you want to get these people out of not hell, purgatory. They might spend 10,000 years there, but you can get them out. If you give $100, you can get less than it by 2,000 years or something like that. And so we have religious organization that's telling that there is no hell. And of course, if you believe in any kind of Hindu thing or, you know, the New Age stuff, you know that you're not going to die and go to hell, because you're going to come back. And hopefully you come back better than you are. Maybe you'll be a prince or something. Or if you're not real good, you can come back as a cockroach. I don't know. But you'll come back. So there's no hell. And then I remember watching in the middle of the night, I don't know why I was turning on a TV, and this televangelist going about the business of telling people about heaven and hell. And he said, there's absolutely no hell, because God wouldn't allow anywhere in his universe a place where there's torment and pain. So if you die and you don't know God, he's just going to disintegrate. So a lot of people say, no, no big deal. Let me live my life the way I want to live, and then I'll disintegrate. That's okay. Wrong, 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 wrong. Every bit of it is wrong, because there is a heaven and there is a hell. And I want to tell you, can you imagine if God's people believe that? If we all believe in heaven and hell? You know, we look at our families. We look at our workplace. We look at the people that we pass on the street. And we're thinking, is he going to heaven? Is she going to hell? You say, oh, come on, Pastor Dan, we need something more uplifting than that today. It's kind of rainy outside. Is that what we want, or we want truth? If we thought that, I guarantee you, you make different choices in your life. Absolutely. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about salvation and eternal security and a little bit of that, right? Remember I told you that, you know, if you are a child of God, you don't need to worry about suddenly losing your salvation. It's like the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. He went and lived his miserable life, as miserable as he wanted to. Nevertheless, he's still a son. He doesn't lose his sonship because he's a terrible person. But I want to tell you what happens when God's people, a child of the living God, chooses to live that kind of life. If you, as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, don't want to believe in heaven and hell, not really, you might have it here, but you don't have it here, and you go on and live your life, you're going to live your life the way you want it, whether it is in terrible debauchery, or even if you're just living your life with no consequences, I want to live my life the way I want to live my life, I want to live it up, you know, I want to have a great life, I want to be rich and wealthy and whatever it is, all those things, right? You live those kind of lives, I want to tell you what happens to you. You may not lose your salvation, and I don't believe you will. But you are going to cause a whole lot of people to never have theirs. Because they're going to live, see, you're living that life. It's like, why would I be interested in his concept of heaven and hell? Here he is, you know, just living with the pigs. I don't want to be like him. And because of the choices we make in our lives, we can actually cause people to go here or there. Or heaven or hell. Make the choices for the Lord and say, forget about it. And I want to tell you, if God's people believe in heaven and hell, we will make a choice in our lives that would be so different. Not only because we want to serve God, not only because we have that eternal uniqueness of eternity in our lives, not only that we want to bless God, but we want to make a difference in the lives of people so that they can see our lives, our confidence, our desire for God, our knowledge of heaven and eternity, and say, I want that. I'm a big believer in vision, sensing how God leads us. I'm a big believer in passion. I'm a big believer in faith. But let me tell you something about those things, which can dramatically change people. You can't teach it. I can teach the Bible. I can teach them about faith. I can teach them about all the... You can sit with me, and I've done it. 15 years I taught in Bible school and seminary. You can teach it all you want. Those things have to be caught. They have to be caught like a bad cold. You get near somebody, you're coughing, you got pneumonia, everything, you put your arm around them, you know, eventually they're getting pneumonia, right? That's what has to happen. If you believe in heaven and hell, let me tell you something. If you have that passion for God, the passion for eternity, and the touch of God is in your life, I'm just gonna tell you this. People catch it. People catch it even if you don't say it. I remember going one time, one of my rare times that I ever sold a car. I can't sell things. But I had this Honda Prelude. This man came and he wanted to buy my car. I don't know what I said to him. I don't know what was it. I spent some time with him. He bought it. And then finally he said this. I'm so glad to buy your car. I'm like, okay. Something different about you. I don't know what it was necessarily, but if you're passionate about God, the things of God, the eternal things of God, heaven and hell, people are going to catch it. You don't have to be a crazy evangelist on the street. People are going to feel it. They're going to sense it. They're going to say, I want that. And that's how people give their lives to the Lord. That's how people are transformed. When you live out your passion, live out your life. Oh, I sure hope that you believe in heaven and hell. Let me read for you this, the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. This is what it says. Just the end of it. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his command, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment including every hidden things, whether it is good or evil. Eternity will come to us. We have to answer to God. Are we going to live our lives believing in eternity, believing that there is a heaven and hell, and making a difference? Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for putting that eternity in our hearts. And oh Lord God, one day we will just have eternity, just loving you, praising you, loving people, spending it in the most awesome way, every single day, every single minute. And after 10,000 years, we will still not have had one less day to enjoy you. Oh Lord, would you make us as your people so passionate about this that those who have not heard, have not made that choice yet, will gladly do so. Would you give us that privilege?